the Shalach is divided quickly between the first half and the second half. Let's take the first Ramban towards the at the beginning of the second half. It's Perk Tadvav to Kafe. Sham Sam Chok Mishpat V'Sham Nisahu. Right, that's story of in Elim and Maram. B'Mara Natan Miktzat Parshiyot Torah Shitasku Bahem Shabbat Praduma V'Dinim. V'sham Nisahu La'am Lashon Rashi V'hi Da'at Rabboteinu. Okay, the problem with it's like this. The issue that the Midrash is dealing with is Sham Sam Lo Chok U'Mishpat. Chok U'Mishpat presumably means mitzvot, something that you're commanded to do. Right? There's an imperative. Chok U'Mishpat, Chokim U'Mishpatim, really might have Chokim U'Mishpatim, you know, La'asotam Ba'aretz, etc. Now, since it's pre-Matan Torah, there's a problem here. So, the assumption, Chazal claim is that in Mara, they were given a bunch of mitzvot, if you want, it's like a prelude or a preface to Matan Torah, they were given a bunch of mitzvot in Mara, Shabbat, Para Uduma, Vedinim. Rabbi Tal Zatzal used to like to explain all these three as being paradigmatic. One is Bradim Lachaveiro, that's Dinim, or if you want more social justice in general. One is something which is which you can identify with, which you can enjoy, and a mitzvah which makes sense, Shabbat, and one is a mitzvah which is irrational and doesn't appeal to. That's more or less so he used to interpret this midrash. B'chol ofen, the main point is according to Rashi, there's some kind of there's a matan Torah before matan Torah. Vanita mea, lama l'peresh kan chukim eilu mishpatim, v'yomar v'adaber Hashem Moshe tzav b'nei Yisrael k'ashem ha'pashat nisrol l'mala d'ibur k'adat b'nei Yisrael v'chein yaseh b'chol mitzvot b'ol moed v'avot mo'av v'pesach midbar. Now, okay, so Rabbi wants to know how come the Torah doesn't detail. So, of course, Rashi could say, with all due respect, there are many details which appear in Midrash and not in on the Chumash. This is not the only thing that the Torah doesn't detail, and, we assume some division between Torah Shemichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh, or between the Ketuv and the Midrash. It's true about the narrative elements of the Torah, it's true about the... But the legal elements of the Torah, there are a whole bunch of mitzvot which are not detailed, or we have the basic principle, but not much more than that. This is not, it's not a unique phenomenon here. Rabban apparently is assuming that there's always some indication of something, right? The Torah doesn't detail tefillin the details, but you know that tefillin exists. Unlike over here, where it glosses over. I don't think it's a great Kushan Rashi. Moreover, there's something else, which is mitzvot in Mara. Not necessarily mitzvot of the same type that mitzvot are later on. The pre-Matan Torah mitzvot, and we're talking about Mara, it's like this. This maybe is the basic question regarding Mara. And the mitzvot in Mara supposed to be, are they like part of the system? They were given like it's a sneak preview. It's in advance. Really, they're part of the system, or that Mara was trying to set up a whole different. Or that Mara was trying to set up a different. It's a different chiyuv. Once Matan Torah will come, it will be superseded by Matan Torah. But Mara was a different kind of system for the time it existed. So, at any rate, it doesn't matter. In other words, it's quite conceivable to say that that these mitzvot, let's say this, the part of the mind is problematic. But let's start with that the mitzvot was given as some kind of form mitzvot, which relied not upon Kadosh Baruch Hu's authority. That's not Har Sinai, right? Kafal Har Kigigit, very little Kim Har Sinai. There, Kadosh Baruch Hu basically imposed his authority upon Am Yisrael. In the Mara, it may have to be. The pasuk says, "Sham sam lo chok u'mishpat v'sham nisahu." The essence of the chok u'mishpat is nisayon. To put it differently, later on the Torah will give a whole system. The system will be dependent, or the system will rely both upon the authority and also the value and the content of the mitzvot. Right? You have this duality of kafar kegigit, naseh v'nishma. Right? Naseh will perform regardless. Nishma will understand, will be accepting, will follow the rationale. Over here, it says no. Some sort of chokum mishpa. What really matters here is the discipline. It's not the content. That's why the Torah doesn't detail it. You know, if the content was what would have mattered, the Torah would have detailed it. The Torah doesn't detail because that's not what matters. What matters is sham sam lachok u'mishpat v'sham nisahu. Let's say of paraduma in the mix as well. The idea simply here is when they go to the desert and they left Mitzrayim. First of all, they should just recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu's authority. And the fact you only taryad. So that you can have even a few mitzvot. So they wanted, first of all, before they even begin to enter the wilderness, the moment they leave Kiryat Yamsuf, that they should be accepting of his authority as such. And therefore, the Torah doesn't tell us what the mitzvot were, because that's not the issue here. The point here is, it's the authority itself. Then we get to Mount Sinai, and over there, it doesn't matter, they want to give a system with mitzvot, which we care not only about the authority, but also about the content. So they would say, tzav b'dei tzav amar ta'alehem, which means you have both the tzivui, at the authority, and, you know, keres hachatasim ben arbaim, keres hachatasim boker, etc. But over here, it's only tzav, so it says, shem sam l'chok u'mishpat. If that's the case, that'll explain why the Torah doesn't see any need to detail and solve the Ramban's question here against Rashi. Next. Mishon Rashi Shemar, Parashat Shitaskubahem. Okay, now this is Chazal. However, now the Ramban has a diuk here in Rashi. Shitasku b'hem, so he thinks, but the Torah is, it's not necessarily to obey. It's rather shlitasek. And what does that mean? Shon Rashi shema pashat shitasku b'hem masha shu di'am achukim ahem v'limeid otam atikash baruch l'tzavotachem b'kach al derech shemim. We think here is no. Here he's saying the opposite. That if you look at Rashi's lashon, the Ramban is saying, "Litasek" means they should now only discuss these mitzvot. Litasek means to deal with, to discuss, to learn, to engage with them. So at the moment, you'll be mitasek with them, but only for future performance. In other words, they will give them now just to discuss them and to get used to the idea. Or in the Ramban's language. הודיעם החוקים ולימד אותם עתיד, הקדוש ברוך הוא אתכם בכך. He just announced that down the road they'll be chayv these mitzvot. על הדרך שלמד אברהם אבינו את התורה והיה זה להרגילם במצוות ולדעת וקבלו אותם בצורה בטוב לבב. So part was educational, just to get them used to the idea of mitzvot and to get them, it's essentially the model he's building here is the idea what you have later on in halacha that you do chinuch through a katan for mitzvot. Right, and a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, you train him for mitzvot. So it's a training period. Now, so apparently among things, it was a training period for Am Yisrael as well. Am Yisrael also had to undergo this kind of transition or training period to get used to the idea. Well, if you want, what the Ramban seems to be hinting, what we could take from this, the upshot of this is that the idea of mitzvah chinuch by a child is not only because he's a child and therefore he's too young to impose upon him all the obligations, and he lacks the maturity to and self-discipline to mekayim. But also, maybe anybody, who begins to mekayim mitzvot, you want to train him and not impose it in one shot. You know, not in one fell swoop that you, you know, yesterday he does nothing, today he does everything. But rather you try to make the transition more gradually. So even if Naniach of a Katan wasn't a Katan, we would still train him for mitzvot to get him accustomed to it. So this is not an abstract question. Anybody who deals with people who want to be chozer b'tshuva, by ger you have the same thing with havdila. So by ger you have the exact same policy, right? We deal with mitzvot, mitzvot kalot, and then you gradually break him in. You don't. It's not in one. And the same is true. It's like this. That's my knowledge. Most people who do chazar v'tshuva, they don't tell a person, yes, tomorrow morning you start doing everything. It's rather it's a gradual process. And the recognition is that even if a person is older, mitzvot are it's a tremendous burden and imposition, and therefore you have to do it gradually and not. Any person needs a training period. By the way, you have said in by Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, right? The Shirat Yemei Miluim, which is also Mekadesh Otam, but it's also a training period. Be a Kohen is a whole new role, and it's not only a new role in terms of sprinkling blood or shechting animals. It's a new role. It's a whole new role in terms of behavior and conduct and self-image and self-consciousness, and therefore they also have Yemei Miluim. Secondly, also of course, if you want it to be, it's as I said before, it's difficult. It's also your person to accept yourself properly. It has to be a process, and the process has to be gradual. It's also, of course, it'll be much more. In the long term, it'll be much more lasting if you do it gradually, and therefore, I think there's a lot of legitimacy. It's true also, by the way, of other. If a person has problems in a certain area, but in certain areas he has difficulty becoming a specific mitzvah, and you want to wean him off of it, so. You tell him to do it gradually. Come and say to someone, tomorrow morning you stop everything, it's too abrupt, and the odds of it backfiring are considerable. If a car is speeding on the highway at 90 miles an hour, you don't hit the brakes. You decrease the speed gradually until you can come to a safe stop. It's true, human beings and not only machines. Human beings also require this. So he's talking about accelerating. You begin by a few mitzvot to train on Israel. You tell them, 2 months from now you get the Torah and you'll have mitzvot. And in the meantime, you can discuss the mitzvot, you can learn the halachot. Additionally, you can begin to practice. It's a very, there's a lot of psychological, educational logic to this, even though it's a people, not necessarily an individual. ואיזה להגילם במצוות, לדעת אם קבלו אותם בשיחה בטוב לבב, והוא הניסיון שבא ושם ניסה הוא, והודיעם שעוד יצווים במצוות. וזהו שאמר, אם שמוע תשמע, this is interesting, now, אם שמוע תשמע, this is the future. So, and פשוט של מיקרו, right, is that you have to see the mitzvah, שם שם לחוק ומשפט ושם ניסהו, ויום במשמעות ישמע, כל השם לוקח, ושם בעיניו תעשה ונתן מצוותיו, שפתו כל חוקה, etc. So, פשוט של מיקרו is, from here on, no, I gave you מחוק ומשפט ושם ניסהו, from now on, if שמות ישמע in the future, then the Bani has said, no, the שמות ישמע is, I'm not giving you מצוות now, I'm giving you מצוות now, only לך הלמד, only you should perform them later on. So therefore, אם שמות ישמע, then, it was the whole Mishmot Tishma fits into this idea that it was, where's the Kadosh Baruch Hu say to them it's only in the future? Here, yeah, Mishmot Tishma. The Derech HaPshat Kasher Heichelu Lavo Bamidbar Gadol VeHanora Mitzimono She'en Shamayim שאין מים שם להם במחתם בצורכיהם מנהגים אשר ינהגו בהם את השם כמנהג קרי חוק כי נהג תריפי נלחם חוקי חוקות שמיים וארץ יקרה משפט ביותו משוער כהוגן וכן כל עשה להביא כל משפטו כל הימים כמשפט הראשון אשר היית משקהו ואומר לו משפטו יישב על מידתו נאו דרך הפשט רמבן concludes the discussion about Rashi and the Medrash. Derech HaPshat has nothing to do with mitzvahs, nothing to do with Torah. All that happens in Mount Har Sinai. Sham Sam L'chok U'Mishpat has nothing to do with Torah mitzvot. It has to do with how they will basically, it's regulations for survival in the desert, or regulations for life in the desert. It has nothing to do with Torah mitzvot. It's simply the way Bnei Israel, as a group which is somehow entering down the wilderness, has to work out definitely. Need to be regulations and rules for the group as such. Interestingly, in Sefer Bereshit, in Parashat Toldot, Rashi brings a midrash there also that the avot when it came called Torah Kula, Ekev Shashma B'Koli V'Yishmo Mishmarti Mitzvotai V'Chukotai. So Chazal say that the avot came called Torah Kula, and Rashi quotes that there, if I'm not mistaken. Dear to the Ramban, he discusses the Medrash, but then Derech HaPshat, he explains it differently. Davim Avinu Beit Kadosh Baruch Hu, B'lav Davka Mitzvot in the Taryag formula. Here too, the Ramban, Rashi and the Medrash have Bnei Yisrael doing Mitzvot, the Ramban takes it to a different direction. B'chol Mikre, now Chok Mishpat, Chok mean a regulation, basically. Actually, not really regulation. It means something which is regular. Now, it often has two connotations. Either, like he says, laws of nature. In other words, laws of nature, of course, are constant and fixed. Atrifeni lechem chuki, the pasuk usually means like this. Lechem chuki is, atrifeni means to provide me. Like, provide me with lechem, the lechem which is assigned to me, prescribed to me, with the lechem which I will be granted on a regular basis by, it could be Kadosh Baruch Hu, it could be the king, it could be, lechem chok means a lechem which you're an allowance which you're assigned or given by some higher authority, either the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Pasuk and Mishlei, at times it means a king who is dispensing various rations to others. It means basically rations in a sense. This is some lochok. So it means Kadosh Baruch Hu is this basically the issue going into the desert more than anything else is survival. Or particularly food and drink. First and foremost. And later on, right, basically protection from the elements, particularly sun, and on a lesser degree, right, animals and the like. So first of all, the pasuk deals over here Barosh Barishana with food. Right, they come which is crucial. Presumably they had some water left over from Egypt still, but they're running very low obviously after 3 days. Okay, so this is the water, which of course is the most basic and immediate need. Number two is food. Sham sam lo chok u'mishpat, which Ramban assumes means that he assigned him not only water but also food. If you want, interpret only about the fluids, but if you want, chok u'mishpat will mean also he provided them with a means of sustenance, also in terms of food. And immediately afterwards, v'avoy liv shem shem esrei enot ma'im shvim terim v'yachnu shem al ha'mayim. So again, and it's been, then the next episode, indeed, the Rogue provided them with these provisions. So this is chok u'mishpat, sham sam lo chok u'mishpat, meaning he provided them with rations or provisions for the desert. At the moment, it's a leave, and that's right afterwards, will become the man. And the man will be Lechem Chuki for the next 40 years. It becomes so regular and so routine, right, that Bnei Yisrael will complain about it in Bamidbar later on. It's too routine and it's too regular. Nashenu Katsa Belechem Ha Klokel. But the main reason it's Klokel is simply because it's boring. But this stage is a crucial need. V'krei mishpat. Now mishpat in Kodesh means that it's the right amount. You know, it's fear. You know, mishpat means to give something. You know, that you use mishpat is from like shofet. Shofet means to discriminate or to measure. You know, he thinks here that mishpat, that to measure something, you have to make a judgment. You have to figure out how much is required and how much is necessary. You have to determine how much is necessary. So mishpat, really, so when you talk about measuring something, you're applying some kind of mishpat. Mishpat yikare b'tom mishuar kahogen. And then it brings a bunch of psukim which talk about doing something properly. Or what's more, a regular assignment, a proper assignment. Kodesh b'tom kaleyamim. It's talking about also providing people with something. Or, Kamishpat HaVishon Sheita Mashkehu, the same manner that you did in the past. What Rabban is interested in hearing, Rabban linguistically is interested in one thing, or maybe two things. First and foremost, he's interested in taking Chok HaMishpat out of the legal sphere. And what we're trying to illustrate, and I think it's pretty clear, anyone who knows Hebrew decently recognizes that, of course, he's right. Chok HaMishpat do not have only a legal connotation. The primary usage is usually legal. But chokim mean other things as well, such as rations, and hatyufeni lechem chuki is the prime example of this. Mishpat also can mean not only, mishpat means something regular and determined. It doesn't have to be dafka determination, which is legal. It can be a different kind as well, and this is he brings a psukim. Having said that, he wants to show that it means that basically it's providing in a proper, routine, regular, and judicious manner. Okay, now let me just add the following point. This is the crucial dilemma of the facing Bnei Israel. The way Sefer Tehillim will say, "Hayuchal kel laroch shulchan b'midbar." It's far from, they have no idea how they're going to survive in the desert. They scared the Egyptians. There was no choice but basically to cross the sea. Otherwise, they would have perished at the hands of the Egyptians. So they had no choice. First, they had no choice but to go into the water, right? The way Chazal described it, the only reason they went into Yam Suf, they had no choice. Otherwise, it's like a person who's in a burning home, he has no choice but to jump into the river and then hope that he doesn't drown. So they went into Yam Suf for that reason. Then stage B, so then they leave the Yam to the desert, because the desert is better than drowning at sea. So what's more, they don't know that the desert is any better. It must be a slow and painful death. So now the big nisayon is to trust the Kodesh Baruch Hu, will he provide them? Or it's like this. The crucial dilemma now is, Hayu chalke larel shulchan bamidbar. This is Tehillim Ayin Chet. Baka yam ve'avirem ve'atzev mayim kvoned ve'anchem ve'anan yomam v'chol laila bor esh yivaka tzurim b'midbar v'yash katomot rabba v'yotzi nozlim misal v'yored kanarot mayim v'yosif od lachtolo v'amot elom b'tziya v'yinesu kel v'van lisho ochol l'nafsham וידברו לאלוקים אמרו היוכל כל אורך שולחן במדבר הן יקעצו ועזוב ומים ונחלים. Okay, now here it's presented as rebellion, and the reason is because this is after they've been given already. This is Bamidbar. They've been given already everything and they still continue to complain. But over here at this stage the mamash may have real doubts. In other words, they're not there complaining. He's not complaining. They really don't know what's going on. So, in this pshat of the Ramban, Kosh Baruch Hu basically establishes it from the get-go. You know, he provides them with chok u'mishpat, and he tells them immediately, this is what you'll be getting, you'll be provided for, and he guarantees that they'll be provided for. Sham sam l'chok u'mishpat. Let's continue a bit. And this is a second opinion. She yasrein b'chukei hamidbar. It was sham sam nochok, meaning the law of the desert, which is painful. In other words, they begin to suffer from the heat and the desolation. Okay, and he has two different things. Number one is, and this is a fascinating two day out here, he begins with Sham Sam Lochok. Opinion number one is Sham Sam Lochok. He comes out, you have the provisions. In other words, they said, you know, there's no water. Okay, guaranteed there'll be food. And then immediately they go to Elim and everything's guaranteed. And Sham Sam Lochok Mishpat, he guaranteed to them that they'll have everything they need. The other opinion is no. Sham Sam Lochok Mishpat, Sham Sam Lochok, he gave them an ordeal in order that they should feel the dependency. And these are two different models of, if you want, of Avodat Hashem, or men's gratitude, or men's relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu around Parnassa and the like. Right, you have one model in which a person is provided for, he doesn't have difficulties, and then of course the Nisayon is to recognize Kodesh Baruch Hu is... This is Sham Sam Lachok U'Mishpat, Sham Nisahu, whether he recognizes and thanks Kodesh Baruch Hu, etc. The other way is when a person has trouble and he doesn't find readily what he needs, and be out of his dafka because of his ordeal, he cries out to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and and therefore he. Therefore, basically, if he says Berach Hashanim because he's in trouble, or if he davens for rain because it hasn't been raining a long time, so then the need to approach Kadosh Baruch Hu is much more acute. He feels much more his, and this establishes a different line of communication. So you have your two models. One is you're being provided for and being taken care of, and therefore, remember to thank Kadosh Baruch Hu. The other one is Kadosh Baruch Hu, to begin with, sort of at least in the beginning, has this kind of exercise in which he makes sure they should recognize their dependency, and only then does he give it to them. And this may be also the midak neged midah or tikkun, right? The first time they complained, they learned al Hashem and manishte. Kibbutz now offers them the opportunity to repeat the same episode, just without complaining, just requesting properly without complaining. And then he says in mishpatim. Now, if this is the case, the mishpat is not that you get the chok that you get your provisions regularly. Something else, mishpatim, are the rules and regulations how to organize life in a camp in the desert. Shechivim lehol vishdreil neig batzad askenim vatsne alechet shugu shalom. Kids, it's proper conduct and behavior. It's a code of behavior essentially. Not mitzvot. Mitzvot will be after Matan Torah, but simply they are now leaving Egypt and leaving from a collection of slaves. The people have to live together and have to function and the like. So he has to. So they sit down, which means organizing life. V'tochichot musar. Okay, the man here is glancing, if you want, that idea that he writes about in Sefer Dvarim in much greater detail, that camp life, he's talking of course about a military camp, is spiritually dangerous. Because many of the social structures which we have in normal civilian life or in urban life, which provide some of the safeguards for proper functioning society, for instance, busha, lemante yirto pnechem zo busha, and of course it's a very crucial social mechanism. The fact that life is long, there are long term consequences. If you're a military camp, which is it's a temporary thing, the Torah is not talking about established military. It's not talking about military bases. So it's not talking about Tel HaShomer or a place like that. It's talking about summer camps. It's talking about a temporary camp where you have a few days and you move on to go to battle. Long-term residency provide that there are long-term consequences. You can behave one way as a tourist in a country for 7 days because no one knows you, and then you disappear, and etc. If you live in place for a long time, it's a whole different level of social safeguards. Take into account also that civilian life is usually organized around family life, which means there are males, females, young, old, their responsibilities. Basically, in the army, so A, it's only young males, with all of the danger, or at least there was the chash that will combine them, will not necessarily be the whole spectrum of experience which offset each other, but rather there'll be a dynamic in which in regular life, so different groups offset each other. If you have only young males together, so things which appeal to young males alone can then become the glue which keeps everyone together. Additionally, also, of course, there are no responsibilities. I mean, it's a very paradoxical in the army. Because there's always someone above you who's responsible. You're responsible to do your particular task. In other words, you have to know how to shoot, you have to know. Yeah, you're responsible for a very particular thing, a task. But besides for that, there's very little responsibility. And unlike a person functions in regular society, he has family responsibilities, professional responsibilities, he has various other such things. The Ramban thinks that military life, see, before there's a lot of also energy, which is, you know, military life requires energy. To exploit the energy, so he feels that there's a military culture fostered by goyim and the like that encourages release of energy, including sexual energy. And now, but it's not only sexual energy; it's also predatory energy. It means anything which encourages aggression and energy, and energy and aggression often go together, is encouraged. So he talks about, in much greater length. On the one hand, there's no busha, on the other hand, there's an attempt to encourage aggression and energy and the like, and therefore military armies will do whatever they feel like doing. Here he says it briefly. And the Ramban thinks that with some of these dangers leaving Egypt into the Midbar, that at least in the beginning, the Midbar is not a civil place, it's not society. There are also certain, it's like this also, I mean, that in military life or in the wilderness, there are also certain things which you have to, forego, which normally is part of civilized life. You don't have in the desert. You're not going to even find linen or china or certain things. By definition, you're lacking, which create the rhythm of life or the refinement of life, and therefore there might be things that are concerned. They'll come to there's no society besides for them. There's no urban structure. There's no economic structure. There's nobody else looking at them, so therefore he's concerned that life in the Midbar will not deteriorate into Yasu Kol Toivav Lo Yitboshashu. So this he thinks is Chok U'Mishpat. This is Mishpat, regulations to prevent this phenomenon from occurring. V'chem Yeshua Ne'emar V'chot Yeshua Brit La'am Bayom Ahu V'Esem L'Chok U'Mishpat B'Shchem Einam Chukei Torah Mishpatim. In other words, when the Torah says, when the Navi says that Yeshua lays down Chok U'Mishpat, the idea is not Chok U'Mishpat mitzvot and the like, which presumably Chazal talk about Yeshua being transmitted to Mesorah, so this is a good place to look at it, right? The Pasuk says at the end of his life, so Yeshua came to keep him in motion and then transmit to Pinchas and to whoever is further down. In the Ramban here, it's a transition. In this case, it's a transition not from society to the wilderness, but from the wilderness into society. They finished Kibush Eretz Yisrael. Now Yeshua is setting down regulations for life in Eretz Yisrael with a whole new set of challenges because they've left the Midbar, but what's more important, they've left a centralized system in which there's a leader and everyone's organized around a central location, around one location, and now they're scattering and there's no central authority, and what's like this, the localization of power and or of society is one of the main issues of Sefer Shoftim. Right? Everything there is very extremely local and splintered and scattered, and this is part of what Yeshua is saying down. Various preconditions or regulations for living together in Eretz Israel, and it's a very similar thing. Just Moshe Rabbeinu and Desmond leave Egypt to the Midbar. Yeshua, when they finish the Midbar and basically settle Eretz Israel. Okay, let's continue. V'sham nisahu lehodia ki licham baderech hazeh shein shamayim. Okay, so man says this was a nisayon, and he says, I think further down, Okay, maybe it's before. He says that I already explained in Sefer Bereshis what's the significance of a nisayon. But Lamaisa, a nisayon here is he's trying them. It's a trial, you know, to test them for whatever the reasons are. And he talks about that in the Akedah in much greater detail. Okay, the time of Bereshis Meis. Here's another very interesting passage. Shirauto Eitz. Well, the shlichet eitz is right. Vevol marim v'chul shtayim mimara ki marim heim. Alkei kashma mara v'resham eitz v'ashlichet l'mayim v'tukua mayim. Which is which eitz? Shoto eitz v'malo shlichet eitz is zel mayim v'imtuku. U'ba'avur shelo matzati l'shon more. Right, v'yorei v'ashem eitz. Elo b'shon b'inyan limud. V'yoreini v'yomer li lamdeini v'chein kulam. Nir'eh b'derech ha'pshat. Kitzu yamtika mayim b'tivo. Particularly threw in sugar cane. And they found some sugar, whatever, and they tossed it into the water. It was basically, it's a neis b'derech ha'teva. Who's gulaba would made it al Moshe. Essentially, Kadosh Baruch Hu prefers, according to this, not to work through miracles. He's trying not to upend nature, but rather to work within nature. If they have a need in the midbar, and the need has to be provided for, the best way to do it is through natural means. So in this case, Moshe Rabbeinu is unfamiliar with sugar, whatever it is. So Kadosh Baruch Hu points out, by Yoreh Hashemei, and Laharot really means to point out. Right? It's connected with learning because you point things out. But Laharot is not only to teach, it's also a point. That's why to shoot is Yoreh, right? Yoreh means to teach. Yoreh means to shoot something because you're pointing out something. So by Yoreh Hashem Eitz, because Rabbi basically he pointed at the right tree, and he told Moshe, and the Nes is done b'derech ha-teva on purpose. He was trying to minimize miracles and simply to have the Kadosh Baruch Hu work within the system he created, which is the natural system. From Utenu Amru Sheya Eitzmar. Vuneis betoch neis. Ken ha-melach shatan elisha v'amai. No, it's the reverse. It was dafka bitter. And the idea is to maximize the miraculous element. Neis betoch neis. Gives a midrash like that, which talks about, I think, Akedah, or it talks about neis litnos pasuk in Yishayahu, I think it's that, neis litnos seis. Neis litnos seis, and then pshat means, of course, a banner. Right? That it's waving a banner in the wind. But chadash, neis litnos seis means a neis betoch neis. That you try to emphasize and double the miraculous element, even if you're making a neis already. There's a miracle also how he bichlal got the tree. Vishuv matzad belamdenu in Tanchuma. Ve'ei makativ shavershem eitz ve'yareu lo nimer ve'yureu horeu darko kama shehoreu vilimdo darko shemamtika ma hamar b'mar. Okay, so there's two opinions. I think we've mentioned here in the past, I'll just mention this briefly, Rambam would have his way to minimize it. Even Kriyas Yam Suf, he tries to make, right, V'yashva Yam, if you like Bokri Leitano, as he calls the Medrash, tonight, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yam, for Shesh Mebreshis. It was programmed and stipulated from Shesh Mebreshis that the Yam would split at a certain point, which is, of course, that's an attempt to take a miraculous event and to try to naturalize it, or at least to minimize the miraculous element. Over here, the second opinion is the reverse. Something which can be explained through a natural logic is dafka taken to become a miracle on purpose. We'll just add here one point. Part of this debate goes back to what we spoke about in the past. Rambam and Ramban's competing with different perspectives on nature. From another point, though, there may also be a difference between the Midbar. this may be a debate over here regarding the Midbar. The whole point of the Midbar was a miracle all the time. Nothing there was natural. From the Amud Anan, the Amud Eish, the man, everything there was miraculous. The idea was that the Kosh Baruch was a wing over there. They're not living a life as physical creatures in nature. They're basically, and they're living, it's like, just to try to give you the idea, it's just like you live, think of some of these children's movies in which you live in a house with a magician. Right, so you don't do anything, you don't cook, you snap your fingers, right, and everything is created Yeshmeyayin, and so on and so forth. In other words, living under Tachat Kafesh Shekhinah, there is no Teva in the Midbar, though. And therefore, this position of Mar B'Mar doesn't have to be necessarily true throughout. You can talk about different periods of life on Israel. Life on Israel, you have period number one, you have a period of Teva, you have a period of Nes. This is a period of Nes. Rav Midan spoke once, I think correctly so, about Elisha, right? Elisha does everything also with miracles. If he says he can do a miracle with, he goes out of his way not to do it naturally, but to do it miraculously, right? Other than of course, work differently. There are certain periods in which, for various spiritual needs, the Nes becomes prominent. The Midbar is one of them, and the Midbar is basically Bechat Yisrael. Bechat Yisrael, the importance of a miracle, I think we spoke about this also at some point early in the year, the importance of a miracle is to a large degree to express a relationship. Because Rebbe cares about you, is that he's listening, that he's acting on your behalf. A miracle is not the best way to run nature. I'll give you the example then about the computer technician. It's not it's not the best way to program a computer by having bugs. But if you have a problem, and the guy comes at 2 o'clock in the morning and he shows up to fix it for you, in other words, if he comes to do to work for you and to do things specially, it certainly shows that you have very good connections with technicians. In other words, it's very good for displaying relationships. So in the Midbar, presumably that was more important. It was more important to display the relationship and not necessarily to run nature. You get down to Israel, then things change. But over there, everything's with Echnes. So even if we normally accept the position that nature is preferable in Panames, in the Midbar, it was different. What time is it?
7:05.
What? 7:05. 7:05. Okay, so that's this one. Let's see if I just okay. No, just to pick up the steam a bit more. Let's skip the next one. Go to one after that. Chav Zayin. Shoshana say not my mishvim tamarim. Inenu davar gadol. Of course, the Torah makes a big deal. They said over there were 12 wells and 70 palm trees. Inenu davar gadol b'matzei makom shivim tamarim. It's true. It's not true. It's not a davar gadol in the Bika or in Iraq, in the desert. You wonder if they'd be more familiar with the topography of Midbar Sinai, maybe they would have been more impressed by Shivim Tvarim. It's in the middle of the desert. It is significant, I think, at least. Ki b'shval mekamot yimatzu elf trim v'yoter meheima v'inot may revi yitzim b'bika u'bahar v'sefer katuv zeh. Nachon, but it's not like a not mayim with a midbar. Yivakatsurim b'midbar is a whole different kind. So, okay, that's an interesting question here. Whether had this been written locally, would it have been different? Rabbi Avraham Amar, ki saper katu shebau b'makom tov הפך מרה, כי בעילים עינות רבות, והם מים מתוקים ויפים, כי אתם לא הצלחו בארץ שמרמי המרים. תחמה, ויחנו שם, כי תגעו שם בעבור זה ימים יותר משאר מקומות. When we say, if you're saying it's, what's important is not the 70 tumarim, it's their indicative that the whole place is much better, particularly the water. אבל כשאני בסדר, לא סיפר דבר ממראה, ואמר, ויסו ממראה, ויבוא אלים, אבל שם 12 עינות מים, ושבים תרמי החנו שם. So Ramat says, he begins with things like this, that the whole point of Elim is not because of it's not such a great oasis per se that you need the Torah to signal it out, and the fact that there are 70 trees is not a big deal. So Ibn-Ezra thinks that it's a contest to Mara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanagah changed. In Mara, he was displaying an Hanagah of bitterness towards them, or he was trying them out. There was some kind of ordeal he was presenting them with, or Nisayon. And then he kept Elim. The trees are important only to tell us that it's the opposite of Mara. So the Ramban then points out in Parashat Maaseh, we told about Elim, even though the Torah skips, no, Torah just mentions them in Mara. It doesn't say anything there about the events at Mara, and does focus upon Elim. Apparently, it is some kind of significant watershed event, and not only, and the trees are important. Rashi Kedosh Teres Not Mayim Kineged Shnei Masar Shvatim Nizdamnu Lehem Shvim Turim Kineged Shivim Zkeini. Okay, so the pasuk has to be read figuratively or symbolically. It's one of these psukim which you don't, what's the pshat is trivial and therefore really not the real meaning. No, it's essentially the real meaning here, the real pshat, so to speak, is not the mashma, but the real pshat there is the figurative one. Some of the Ramban says this, if you remember, I think we discussed this, by the Beirot of Yitzchak Avinu. Right? The Torah is such a huge deal. The Beirot has to be, the pshat has to be not the pshat. Because the pshat is too trivial to be taken seriously. The pshat has to be. There's a much bigger story going on. In the same is true here. Also, I mean, like Watergate, right? The fact that burglarized the building is meaningless. It's the fact that obviously somebody high up was interested in doing that. That's just meaningful. I say here too, in other words, at times the pshat is so insignificant, there has to be something behind it, which is the... So Rashi says, Shemesar, it's a figurative reading of Am Yisrael and how Am Yisrael should be in the Midbar. Because Am Yisrael in the Midbar, the Shvatim and the Sanhedrin and the Shivimish, and of course, don't forget that throughout the Midbar, they're organized on a tribal basis, and you have... Finally, Shivimish was the Knei Yisrael later on in Baal Lutcha. So, Vajdam Shem Asay Noban Kenegav Shivim Tvarim, and this is crucial. Vlo Yadati Mao Zimun Hazeh, Ibn Masel Nisim Nasu Shem Oto Sha'am. Ava, okay, so then once more, everything is being done by Nes, even the symbols are being miraculously planted over there. Video Mechita, Beelzer Modei Yomem, Yesh Vakadosh Chut Olamo, Basham 12 Mavu'in, Kegid Yudvei Shiftei Yisrael, Dev Dif M'Shem Shem Vreishis, V'Shivim Dikon Kineged Shivim Zekeinim, V'Siper Ketuv Zeh, Kichanu Alehem Kol Shevet Al Mabo'o, V'Azkinim Yishu B'Tzilam L'Shabech HaKer Alehem, Shichinim Ken Beretz Tziya. Okay, either way, here you have another nice example of a Nes, or M'Shem Shem Vreishit. Either way, you know, because even the symbolical element, because Rahu could design Shishmei Bereshit, because Rahu could design Shishmei Bereshit, that he wanted to have the symbolism intact when they arrived there. So you have the one hand, this pshat versus a symbol, a symbolic reading of the Sukkim. Secondly, Nes versus Teva. Brother, but it's hard to read now. I don't know if it says Perush Nifla Be'Einenu means. It's a wonderful perush in our eyes, perush nifla beinenu, or perush, comma, nifla beinenu, means we have no idea what they're talking about. I don't know, but b'chol mikra, there's a derech hasodir also. Anyway, it's interesting thing, this is not a good example of what pshat is not pshat, according to Rambani, and the drash is the pshat, and the pshat is... the drash, I guess.